are now listening to The Caleb One Show, where we talk about everything that they should have taught you in school regarding your health, your finances, and your social life. I'm your host, Caleb, and the episode starts now. Hello and welcome to The Caleb One Show. I'm your host, Caleb One, and this is the podcast where we talk about what school should have taught us. These past few episodes, I've been talking a lot about confidence, narcissism, and understanding the difference between these two entities and these two forces. But there's an even further level that we can touch on. Some say it's one of the worst sins imaginable, and that is having too much pride. Many people have the belief that pride is nothing more than evil, it really also got me thinking, is it as bad as people say it is? And in this episode, I really want to share my two cents with you all on my take on what pride is, and really do a deep dive analysis on this element of life, and to really see and understand if pride is really as bad as people think it is, or if anything, is it an untapped resource that just simply gets a bad rep? Just a quick disclaimer for this episode. I'm going to be going into a little bit of ranting and a little bit of storytelling, so bear with me as I build context to what I'm saying, and hopefully in the process entertain you guys, and hopefully you guys have some good notes by the end of this. I'll start this episode off with a story. Often in my life, I've passed up so many opportunities that I've been practicing for. It's like a side of me wants the glory of being the best at something, but the other side of me is telling me to just play it safe. And I remember back in the days of playing competitive basketball, my team was down by 3 points with about 10 seconds left in the game. And I remember this so well because it was a tournament series and we needed this win to advance to the gold silver round. And I was scoring like crazy. I was making tough shots one after another. And when it came down to the wire, you know, I remember my coach, you know, drawing a timeout, and he drew up a plan of where he needed me and what we needed to do, and to hopefully hit a three and send it to overtime. And I remember the ball getting inbounded to me, and the clock starts winding down, and obviously me, playing out of my mind, encouraged the defense to add another layer of help to avoid me from driving to the basket and getting an easy bucket. And I remember in that moment, there was the situation. You know, I've been practicing for this all my life. We all imagined as a kid fantasizing about hitting that crazy buzzer beater shot, whether it was fooling around in the cafeteria with a, you know, shooting a wax paper ball in the garbage can, or maybe it was in the driveway with your home net and your buddy counting down the time. But in my situation, I was actually on the court during practice preparing for these close game scenarios where, you know, I was in the moment on the floor and needed to actually make this shot, and that feeling of making it but at the same time having the hatred if I missed it. This was where the situation was at, and I remember my defender playing really hard defense, nothing I couldn't handle though. But at the same time, slowly time starts expiring and you start counting down. You have your teammates on the bench crying 9, 8, and I needed to make a move, and I hit my defender with a step back, giving the two of us separation and a window to shoot. But I didn't. I passed up my shot to another teammate after working so hard to shake my defender, and my teammate shooting a contested three out of desperation. And I knew at that moment I blew the game for my team. With little to no time left, the game was over, and it was time to pack up and go home. And I remember on my way out in the car and thinking to myself that Gretzky quote, you know, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So where does this story bring us in regards to pride? Whenever anyone brings up pride or pridefulness, they imagine some cocky know-it-all or some guy who talks, you know, a lot of shit, claiming that they're the best. And there is an element of that, which we'll get to in a sec. But unfortunately, people always view pride as a bad thing and how it brings nothing but negative energy. But I beg to differ to a certain degree, and let me explain. I've gone on record on many occasions saying that humans should only be prideful towards being good at an activity. You know, like with my example with being good at basketball, that person should have pride in themselves on how good they are at shooting or passing or whatever it is in their niche. That doesn't mean you shit talk to other people, but rather the pride I'm talking about is having confidence to take shots or perform extremely well towards something you've been practicing hard for, and that you prepared for those moments when it comes. This is where people should place their pride, in my opinion. The ability to take action and practice to get better and not allow others to sleep on you. That is where I describe as healthy pride. I believe everyone should have that element in themselves. I know I'm a good public speaker because I practice relentlessly to get better at how I articulate my thoughts, how I build a presentation that keep people engaged and wanting to learn and wanting to be informed. I do so much work in researching and putting in and presenting the facts that people need to know and hear. And when I put it up, you know, when I do a good performance of this stuff, people always enjoy it. People always come up to me after public speaking. I remember being in high school and people say, like, you know, I always ask, like, oh, how was that? Or sometimes they'd even they start the conversation and say, hey, Caleb, you're really good at public speaking. You're really good at it. And I get so good at it at the point where I have other people talk on my behalf, or they always encourage me, hey, you should be a debate leader, or you should be, not that I would ever join it, but they always encourage me to do one of those things. Now, my game and performance does the talking for me. That's what we should get to. It's not the other way around where my talking big game is what will make me perform well. This is where pride should be placed, and this is the extent of where it should go. Before we go any further, I want to clear the air when I say this. I don't like to think that there's good or bad in regards to pride. There's good and bad utilization of where you place your pride. I only said it earlier just to get you guys on board with what I'm saying. Rather, I think there is more of a healthy and unhealthy relationship with pride. We've discussed the healthy side of pride. But before we get into the unhealthy side and how to avoid it in yourselves and in others, I want to address a question that I know you have right now. And that is, Caleb, what if I'm not confident or I don't have any pride? And to that, I have to say, you do have it. You just don't know it. Now, people often say, you know, people often who say this are introverts, are people who don't want to be the leader, don't like being in the spotlight in general, or just, you know, are risk averse or don't like to gamble. And that's fine. And to that, I have to say, if you are that person I just described, that's a sign you shouldn't be prideful on the front lines. Rather, you should be prideful behind the scenes. If you love basketball, but you can't stomach the risk of taking charge of plays, you should be a basketball assistant coach coming up with strategies and optional plays. If you want to solve a problem with an idea, but don't want to talk about, you know, be a computer scientist, code your idea behind the scenes. If you want change in politics, don't run as head honcho or political leader, be a subordinate advisor. This all comes down to understanding yourself and your limits. And we'll get into that more. But speaking of limits, let's get into the unhealthy side of pride. I believe there are three major sins of pride. And this is, again, I think there are some other ones, more like smaller detailed ones, but these are the three major ones. So sin number one, extreme self-sufficiency. We all need help. As author John Donne puts it, no man is an island. I've seen so many people miss out on golden opportunities because they couldn't put away their pride. They couldn't, you know, put their ego on the sidelines and reach out for help. And sometimes it's for the right reasons. You don't trust the person delivering, or sometimes you have no one to trust to or no one to lean on because you're alone with your skill set. This is where I always tell people to be knowledgeable, be skillful at a craft, because that is your Willy Wonka golden ticket to networking better with other skilled people. Now, that's a topic for another time, but don't fall into the trap of always being self-sufficient. You know, and the only reason I know this is because I've gone through that. And yes, it's good that you're taking charge of your life. Yes, it is good that you're doing what's in your control to better your circumstance and better your outcome. But be humble enough to know when and what to seek help for. I always believe that the person who seeks wisdom and guidance and help are ultimately helping themselves at the end of the day. Now, if you find yourself with no physical person to depend on, which often happens, there's always the internet, there's always books to look to, there's always good apps out there that help you network, there's always LinkedIn. I'm not sure if people still use that, but there are other resources. And as I always say, there's never a lack of resources. There's only a lack of resourcefulness. Sin number two, trash talking. Trashing someone's game or making claims that you're better than them has no benefit. If anything, it paints a huge red fucking target on your back that if you don't perform to the degree of what you're saying, you're going to be made into a fool. And now your very own words are being used against you if you fail to live up to those hype. Trash talking with your friends is one thing because there is a mutual respect and love of fun for each other and between the bickering. It's all part of the fun of it. I'm talking about the trash talking between strangers, whether it's in person or over the internet. I know a very common objection I get out of this is, Caleb, trash talking throws other people off their game, which works for some people, but I believe it's easy to extinguish that flame by simply ignoring it. When you ignore the ungrounded hate and not react, what you'll end up doing and what you'll end up finding, and it's always interesting what happens, is that it makes the person who trash talk look stupid by not being acknowledged. That awkward silence always gets to people. And it's just like, it's so unnerving. And if there's an audience seeing what's going on, it's only going to look worse for the person who's trash talking, trying to fill that void of silence with gibberish. Now, if you start, you know, if you start calling out their game or they start calling out your game of, oh, you're just being silent because you got nothing to say, you got one of two options. You got A, address it and challenge them to an activity, or B, continue to ignore it and put up a hell of a performance. The most important thing is to recognize if the hate, quote unquote hate or criticism, is just noise, or is it actually constructive criticism that needs to be looked into further. Now, for the most part, people who trash talk are mostly garbage or subpar and have, you know, they have to talk big game for what they lack. But occasionally, you'll bump into people who do talk a lot of shit, who do talk a lot of trash, but immediately back it up with good game. And that, honestly, you just got to tip your hat off and say, GG, say, hey, you talk big shit, you talk a lot of big game, but you back it up. You know, for me personally, I don't like talking shit and, you know, putting others down because you really never know who you're talking to. I mostly like to keep the doors open, you know, to make potential partnerships and relationships. And to be honest, no one wants to be friends or be around someone who thinks that they're above others and putting others down. Sin number three, knowing your place. This was the topic that inspired me to produce this episode. About a year ago, I brought my friend Jordan Tackman, where we discussed some of the most overrated things on the planet. Go check that episode out. I posted that on October 21st, 2019. And towards the end of the episode, I remember, you know, if I remember correctly, Jordan asked me to join him on the senior boys basketball team, to which I declined. And later on that same day back at school, I remember the team individually coming up to me and asking me if I would join the team. Now, for some context, I was on the junior team in my grade 9 and 10 year, so I already would make the team my grade 11 and 12 if I committed to it. But both years, I declined, and I remember the coach, shout out to Blake Potter, by the way, who I love dearly, and I credit him a lot for making me the person I am today. I don't know if it was a coincidence that the same day Jordan and I did that podcast episode, you know, Coach Potter and the players came up to me and asked if I would join the team, to which I still said no. And when they asked why not, you know, this was where I laid it out, and this is where I told them. I said, you're all too prideful. You guys watch so much N1 mixtape that you guys forget about winning. You know, what good is it to drop someone or dunk on someone when you lose by 20 points? You all want to, you know, hog the ball, and you all want to throw up bad quality shots. You all can't play defense if your life depended on it. You know, I'm here to win, and I'll do whatever it takes. If that means I need to take a backseat to allow someone else in the spotlight, I'm all game. But no, you guys need to be number one option. You have roles that you need to play and need to play within them, and you got to do it at a high degree in order for us to win. If someone has a mismatch, give them the ball. Let them go to work. If you dominate the game, don't act like you're the best player on the team. If anything, you dominated because we put you in a position to dominate. Without the players getting setting screens or opening up passages or drawing up attention of the defense, you wouldn't be able to score. You all lack focus to win. None of you can take a back seat if that's what's needed. And for some people who gloat that they're the best, you're so blinded by the fact that if it wasn't for the smaller details, you would be nothing. And that's, again, what I mostly want, not wanted. That's mostly what I said to them. And I remember the absolute shock and disgust on their face when I told them this. And they were calling me crazy, saying, you know, how I was simply, oh, Caleb, you're just missing out on an opportunity. You're so butthurt about it. And I remember just simply, like I said, not even acknowledging it. And how they were saying, like, oh, they don't need me or anything like that. You know, fast forward a couple months later, and my friend Brock, who was on the team, comes up to me and says, Caleb, you're right. The team's toxic. You know, I followed up by saying, you know, tell me specifically what happened. He said, guys didn't show up to practice. They complained when they didn't get any play time. During practice sessions, you know, arguments and fights would break out. And after losses, guys would blame and throw each other under the bus. A lot of ball hogging and a lot of saying, I'm the best player. And I couldn't help but nod my head and, you know, grin as I acknowledged Brock as what he was saying, essentially being his muse and venting out what was on his mind. And I recall almost being, like I said, I wouldn't say unemotional, but just like nodding my head, doing a little grin. And I remember him asking me, you know, Caleb, how did you know this would happen? I told him, I used to play a lot of competitive, you know, club basketball starting at the age of 11. And something I noticed was that guys were starting to get aggressive with each other. And I knew that that was something I needed to keep an eye out for. And as I get older, the more evident it is and that I'm in a toxic environment, I'm in a toxic situation. And in my last year playing competitive basketball, you know, we somehow put aside our differences and focused on winning and ended up, you know, winning our provincial tournament that was being hosted in London, Ontario. And I remember sitting down after the game and I told myself, you know, this was the end. I knew that next year was going to be the exact same thing of hatred, of egos, and, you know, I needed to end on a high note. And here it was. You know, it took me 4 years from age 11 to 15 to realize that pride and ego what was holding a team back. You know, 4 years, you know, I'm never going to get back. 4 years of pain and agony, of hell, of being around prideful people who don't know their place or make fun of others who stay in their roles. You know, I think Zemo, the antagonist of Captain America Civil War, summed it up best. It's so spot on, I'm just going to run the audio clip.
An empire toppled by its enemies can rise again. But one which crumbles from within? That's dead. Forever.
The episode is coming to a close, but I'll end on this. I'm all for striving to be the best and doing well, but you can't be the best if you don't know your role or stay within your circle of your role and know your place. And to play another audio clip to prove my point, here's Jonathan Banks' character of Mike Ehrmantraut from Breaking Bad talking to Walter as things start going to shit in the later seasons. Heavy spoilers ahead. Roll the clip.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry. What?
I want those names, Mike. You owe me that much.
I don't owe you a damn thing.
All of this, falling apart like this, is on you.
Wow. Wow! Oh, that's some kind of logic right there, Mike.
You screw up, get yourself followed by the DEA, and now suddenly, this is all my fault.
Why don't you walk me through this, Mike?
We had a good thing, you stupid son of a bitch. We had Fring. We had a lab. We had everything we needed. It all ran like clockwork. Oh, you could have shut your mouth, cooked, and made as much money as you ever needed. It was perfect. But no, you just had to blow it up. You and your pride and your ego. You just had to be the man. If you'd done your job, known your place, we'd all be fine right now.
It may sound like I'm throwing my former teammates under the bus, which I am, but I'm doing it to illustrate my point of the sins of pride and not knowing your place and role. Again, it's a learning experience for myself. It was a learning experience for my teammates and for you guys to hopefully learn from what I went through so you can avoid it for yourself. So let's quickly recap what we've gone through before we close. Pride isn't always as bad as people think it is. If anything, it should be looked at as healthy and unhealthy. Healthy level of pride is having trust in yourself to perform well and take charge after practicing relentlessly for the opportunity. For the people who are risk averse or don't like being in the spotlight, be prideful in your actions behind the scenes and connect with other people who like to be prideful on the front lines. We talk about the three sins of pride, which is unhealthiness, which is extreme self-sufficiency, trash talking, and not knowing your place. And to prove I'm not tripping on what I'm saying, I use media clips from Zemo's quote of how an empire is built and is destroyed, and use Mike from Breaking Bad to show people that you need to know your place. Hopefully you guys did enjoy this episode. Hopefully you guys had some good notes on this. If you guys know someone who is going through this crisis, share this episode with them. A lot of work goes into media work, not only for podcast or YouTube. Just, you know, appreciate the work that goes into it. Guys, thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you guys on the next one.